Luke 6, starting at verse 20, I believe it is. Oh, we're starting at verse 20 on Luke 6. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how the ancestors treated the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you already have received your comfort. And woe unto you that are well fed, for now you will be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. May God add his blessing to his word. We have some things.
How are you all doing? Yes! Yes! You know, the portion of scripture that was read out of Luke, it is Luke's address to the Beatitudes, which is largely in, I don't know if I should say largely, but at least it's quite a bit into the physical aspect of the person. And but today I want us to go to the what I consider considerably more spiritual aspect to the Beatitudes, and that is found in Matthew chapter 5. It's not surprising to me that Luke would have addressed maybe things a little more from the physical aspect, because he was, after all, a medical doctor, I understand. And, pardon me. So maybe that had something to do with it, but the address that I find in Matthew chapter 5, I see it in three parts. And I like to very often refer to them not so much as Beatitudes as the attitudes that be. The attitudes that be. We probably all know people that we feel need an attitude adjustment. This is a good scripture to go to when you need an attitude adjustment, because almost everybody would appreciate being blessed, huh? We all would love to be blessed, right? Well, in many cases, the attitude needs an adjustment before we can get blessed. But I was thinking today as I was entering, and before we entered, my friend Corny Cron. Corny, would you please stand? This is my friend Corny Cron from Grunthal, Manitoba. He is one of the finest chainsaw carvers that Canada has. And it's quite amazing. Like, after the service, if you want to see some things that he carves, he'll show you pictures. As a matter of fact, as we were walking into the building here, he said, "Wow, just imagine the things I could carve out of these nice big..." But we were sitting in the car, and we were talking about the times that we're living in and the things that are happening in this world, and it's not very pleasant. And Corny said, "You know what, as we sit here and speak, there are people that are being slaughtered. There are people that are starving to death. There are people that are being raped. There are people, like, as we sit and speak, it's happening." Wow. Wow. So incredible. And then, as we were walking in, let me see if I can find this portion of scripture that came to my mind. It's found in Peter. The Epistle of Peter, the Day of the Lord, Second Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, here's the line. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Glory. Looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I don't know about you, but I'm looking. And I'm not just looking, I'm listening. You know, not long ago, I was in the Drumheller pen, and I had just, the tables were set, and I had laid out all the literature for the Bible lessons, and now I'm just kind of sitting there and waiting, and I looked at my watch, and I thought, yep, for any moment now, the guys are going to start coming in. And I had no sooner thought that, and boop! Lockdown, everybody into your cells. So now I could pack up my stuff and go home. But when I heard that horn, and it was an ugly horn as far as I'm concerned, but nevertheless, it reminded me of if I would be sitting somewhere all by myself in silence, and all of a sudden the trump of God goes off. What kind of people ought we to be? Well, let's go to Matthew 5, verse 3. So I see it as three parts. The Beatitudes, or the attitudes that be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now I see the first three verses there of these Beatitudes as the attitude that you're going to need to have in order to be born again. In order to be born again, you're going to have these attitudes. And I may very well be speaking to all Christians here. But maybe there's some information here that is valuable as you rub shoulders with fellow human beings and those that aren't saved yet, and you'd wish and pray that they would get saved and so on and so forth. And this may very well be the attitude that you look for in a person for them to receive Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You all know, and if you don't, I know a lot of you have my little book. I brought a few books along again. But we are all aware of the fact that we are spirit, soul, and body, right? We know that. And when a person all of a sudden comes to the point in their life where they recognize and realize that as far as my spiritual condition is concerned, I'm flat broke. I'm lost. Wow. If I want eternal life, if I want to live with Jesus, I'm going to have to humble myself before Almighty God, and I'm going to need to repent of my sins, ask Him to forgive my sins. I did that when I was 18 years old, and kneeling in a feed alley of a cow barn, I received Jesus as my Savior. Because I realized and recognized that I'm spiritually busted. And then the next one, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's mourning? It means to grieve or to feel deep sorrow. You know, friends, I found it very, very interesting this past Christmas, which was a year after my sweet Carol passed away. And this past Christmas, I've shed far more tears than the last Christmas. And some of those tears were tears of mourning for sins that I knew that God had already forgiven me for. But I recognize and this morning came upon me anew, where I recognized what a wretched person I was before I received Jesus. Mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I can't help it, when I read that word meek, I remember the time when I would get whoopings. Now I realize that young'uns nowadays don't get whoopings because parents don't like to go to prison. But when I was growing up, I would get a whooping every now and then because I was a hard learner. And I had to be reminded in a physical way. But after my father had given me a whooping, and I would cry, and then when I realized that it was about time to quit crying now, but it was hard to quit crying. And then I can still remember in my sobbing, and I'm trying to quit my sobbing, because after all, it had been a few minutes since my backside was burning. And then you're trying to quit sobbing and you go, and when I read the word meek, that's what it reminds me of. Because at that stage of the game, I am quite willing to do it Dad's way. I've been reminded that, Rick, you are dead wrong in what you're doing, and you need to be reminded that that is wrong so that you will remember it for a spell. And now I recognize and realize I have been mourning, I have been weeping, and I know that I need to do it my dad's way, and I'm meek. I'm meek. There's the three that people need to, the position, the attitudes that people need to have in order to become followers of Jesus Christ. That is the attitude that they need to have. Let's carry on. The next stage, the next three, to me, talks about growth. Growth. As newborn babes, Peter says in one of his epistles, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I'm going to ask you a question and you don't have to answer it except in your own soul. Have you been growing? Have you been growing in the last year? We need to be growing. We all know that, don't we? We need to be growing. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? If we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, I'll tell you what, we will be growing. You know why? Because we will be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Oh, that, by the way, is the next attitude adjustment. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. I'm getting a little bit excited here, but I can't help it, ladies and gentlemen, because I know that from that time when I was 18 years old, that's 60 years ago. From that time till now, there has been a considerable amount of growth. And Corny has not known me for 60 years. I don't know exactly how many years, but I know that Corny would tell you that Rick is not exactly what he was when I first got to know him. And my sweet Carol, before she left me, she told me numerous times, you're not the man that I married. You've changed dramatically for the better. Yes! There's a witness all of a sudden. Isn't that great? When you know what, ladies and gentlemen? When there is a friend of yours or an acquaintance of yours that can all of a sudden say, you know what? You've changed. You've changed. There's a change in your life. That's an indicator that you are And if, especially if it's a change for the worse, well, no. But if it's a change for the better, isn't that great? That means that you're growing. I remember that we are six remaining siblings. We have lost three siblings, but we are still six remaining ones. And we were sitting at my youngest sister's house just east of Winnipeg one day, and the six of us were there on the table, and we asked ourselves as a family of siblings, we asked, have we been growing? And without hesitation, every single one around that table said, oh yeah, we've been growing. Isn't that good? Absolutely. Well, I got to carry on. Next, okay, so we are now in the stage or in the attitude adjustment stage where we have received Jesus as our Savior. We are now in the growing stage, or maybe we would say in some instances, we are in the sanctification stage. That's a process that doesn't end until you get in the box. That sanctification, that doesn't end. Like cleansing, growing. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do we feel mercy towards those that are lost? Or are we hard and crusty towards those that are lost? I go into the Drumheller pen and all the guys that come in there, I got to give them a hug. And some of them haven't had a hug, maybe never in their life. And a good number of them, after the class is over, they want another hug. So they get another hug. And they come into some churches and I want to give people a hug, and and I'm thinking they should go to prison for a while to learn to hug. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to love one another. Love one another. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Would you like to see God? I know there's people lose a loved one, and oh my goodness, I can hardly wait to see my sweetheart. I can hardly wait. You know, and I'm thinking, my stepdad is in trouble. He married three times. Who's he going to be looking for? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to see Jesus. That's who I want to see. I want to see the throne room of God. Oh, and by the way, if I meet Carol along the way, that'll be good. But this whole life of sensuality and marriage and reproduction, it's over. It's done. We are in a different world. We are today practicing to be brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? I love you folks. I love coming here. I really do. Why? Because I know that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we ought to act like it. So, if we have received Jesus as our personal Savior, and we've been doing some growing. Awesome. Awesome. We've been doing some growing. Now, here's the warning. There's going to be a battle. If you are a born-again believer, and you have been growing in your spiritual walk, there's going to be, unfortunately, there are people that, and those that are supposedly brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to say bad things about you. Especially if you're like me. The guy is crazy. I talked to a bunch of young people last Saturday, and people sometimes have said, Rick, "You're quite a religious man, aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not religious. I'm a Jesus freak. I love him. I love his word. I love God. I love the Spirit of God in me. I'm in love with his plan. I love it." Anyway, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And unfortunately, and it concerns me, in churches. We need to learn to love one another. And I tell those guys in Drumheller Pen, "I love you. I don't love your sin, but I love you." And we better learn. We better learn. Love the people. You don't have, that doesn't mean you have to love the sin, but you love the people. Battle. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." What? I thought you said there was going to be a battle. If there's going to be a battle, if you can make peace, that's marvelous. What happens if there's a people that have a disagreement in a room someplace and you walk in? Does it get worse or does it get better? Are you peacemakers? Are we peacemakers? We should be. Peacemakers. Oh. And if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, it tells us clearly in the scripture that you're going to meet with opposition. There will be a battle. There will be a struggle. There will be people against you. And I don't struggle a whole lot with people that are unbelievers and heathen people that are against me. Like, okay, that's to be expected, but it's very painful and very hard and hard to understand when fellow believers, professing Christians, are banging heads, like constantly in an argument or disagreement. Oh my goodness, how sweet it is. And I live by myself and I'm not complaining, but my goodness, how sweet it is to have a friend come and spend a few days with you. And I'll tell you, this is a friend that, like, and he's the age of my oldest son. And I think we're, as a matter of fact, we were in a restaurant today together and we ordered the same meal. And I said to the waitress, "You'd think we were brothers." And she chuckled and she said, "Twins." Blessed are the peacemakers. And then it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Think about it. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then it says in verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." These are things we can prepare ourselves with. That's why we receive Christ. That's why we grow in Christ. This is why we fellowship one with another to build each other up and encourage one another, because we are at battle. We're at war. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." The attitudes that be. Then verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Yeah. Rejoice and be exceeding. Oh, sometimes you don't feel like it, do you? Huh? Sometimes you don't feel like it. I was in a church here not that terribly long ago, and they were talking about praising God, and one gentleman got up and he said, "If you don't feel like praising God, then praise him until you do feel like it." It's a choice. It's a decision, because we have reason to praise God. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And that was talked about in that portion that was read earlier, even in Luke. Blessed are all those, Psalm chapter 2, verse 12b, blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. Pretty hard to put our trust into politicians. Hard to put our trust in governments. Hard to put our trust in various things around us. Hard to put our trust in our bank account. Because some, I don't know about you, but somehow I have this idea, this feeling that it probably won't be long and it isn't going to be worth spit. So where do we put our trust, ladies and gentlemen? In Him. Him. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus whose birthday we celebrated 2 months ago. That's where I put my trust. I don't put my trust in the politics and what have you. Like, it's wacky. And I'd just as soon spend my time talking about the goodness of God as about the crookedness of politics. Hallelujah. Gracious Father, thank You for the very words that is in Your Word, telling us the blessedness, the attitudes that we will need as we progress in life, the attitude that we need in order to come to You originally, the attitude we need in order to grow in You, to grow strong, to be sanctified, to be vessels unto honor. And Lord God, I thank You for the attitude that we need when the battle is raging, and it is. Father, may we bring honor and glory to Your name in our walk with You. And I thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.